South Dakota, 2013. Almost 200,000 cattle are killed in a massive snowstorm when snow that appeared like cotton balls got stuck in their nostrils, suffocating them. And the temperature in neighboring states reached 90 degrees. In 2003 and 2017, hundreds of thousands of llamas and alpacas died as a result of anomalous sub-zero Arctic weather in Peru, a country which reaches to the equator. The following year, hail the size of baseballs fell in dozens of areas all over the world, from the USA to Serbia, Australia, South Africa. This hail was so large, it even damaged airline cockpits and forced emergency landings. This bizarre, extreme weather is nature's way of giving an indication that something's very wrong. In addition to those things listed, every day there are severe thunderstorms and blizzards, tornadoes and hurricanes, ice storms, dust storms, heat domes and droughts, water spouts, and even fire tornadoes. For 150 years, scientists have warned that the increasing amount of carbon in the atmosphere is creating a greenhouse effect, increasing temperatures all around the Earth. Yet, what's happening is the opposite. These extreme cold events seem contradictory to the logic. It's no wonder there's so much confusion and distrust and anger about this topic. What exactly is going on? If you look beyond the accepted narrative about the randomness of weather, you'll find the reason why extreme cold weather is happening despite the warming planet, and what you discover may shock you, especially since the proof of what's causing it is right before your eyes. Weather technology that we're told is only being researched for the future is being implemented right now. We're told it's intended to protect us from scorching temperatures and disappearing coastlines. But methods being used are also harming our air, soil, oceans. They are harming all life and causing these freakish storms that are occurring at an ever-increasing rate. And unfortunately, as long as we remain oblivious to it, or deny it, or belittle those who are trying to alert us, the sustainability of life on this planet will remain at the mercy of a very powerful few who are going to dramatic ends to keep the status quo and to convince you that your perception is wrong. At The Universe Inside You, we're interested in raising consciousness, in waking and empowering humanity. We acknowledge that what you're about to hear is controversial, so we only ask you to take notice. Are you ever being forced to see or hear information that contradicts what you're otherwise seeking? Has it ever been necessary to force the truth about anything? Shouldn't truth need no defense? George Orwell said, in the time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Join the universe inside you and create a new reality as we expose the covert geoengineering that is happening before your eyes, the reasons why it's kept secret, and the horrific impact it's having on us and on our environment. And discover the reasons you may want to join the growing number of people who are seeking to take our power back, to address climate warming with solutions that support life rather than harm it. In his book, The Demon-Haunted World, Science as a Candle in the Dark, Carl Sagan said this, "I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority." If you thought weather control was just science fiction, it's okay, you're not alone. There are reasons it's scarcely mentioned in the media. In case you missed it, here are some recent reports about it that came from China. The lack of discussion about weather modification in the West and Wikipedia's skimpy definition on climate engineering may lead you to think it's all very new technology. Actually, the first rainmaking patent was filed over 100 years ago, in 1891. And artificial cloud cover patents were filed almost 100 years ago in 1927, along with cloud seeding in 1947, which is the process that climatologists use to create rain. By 1952, headlines like this exonerated our technological success with weather manipulation. Then, in 1962, after President Lyndon Johnson asserted, "He who controls the weather controls the world," the subject seemed to disappear. Naturally, many people were not aware of the use of weather as a weapon of war. So programs like Project Popeye in the 60s went unnoticed. Popeye viciously cloud-seeded Vietnam to worsen their monsoon storms. And Project Nile Blue attempted to affect the sugar industry in Cuba. One atmospheric scientist, Ken Caldera, shared that in a meeting discussing weather warfare, some of the ideas that were considered included creating tidal waves that would destroy a shoreline, or putting pathogens in a cloud. Though it's a little-known topic, the relevance of weather warfare is so important, it's been compared to the power achieved when scientists split the atom. Dane Wigington is a fierce fighter for weather modification transparency, and he says that weather modification is the crown jewel by which countries are destabilized or forced to allow occupation. He adds that a nation can be brought to its knees without even knowing they were at war. Unlike the atomic bomb, however, weather warfare can be deployed in secret, and it will always appear to be caused by Mother Nature. Weather warfare is deceptive and insidious. So it's no wonder the United Nations sought to ban weather warfare beginning in 1977. Consider, however, if you're a military leader, are you willingly going to lay down such a powerful weapon that not only ensures victory, but preserves your country's reputation because it all happens so secretively? In fact, it makes you wonder how many times someone was humiliated for saying something that sounded crazy when it's clear that we just don't have all the facts. Weather modification includes geoengineering, which is, by definition, the deliberate large-scale manipulation of environmental processes that affect the Earth's climate in an attempt to counteract the effects of global warming. It was decided by a few that the best way to prevent warming was not to change power sources, but to prevent solar radiation from hitting the Earth, a technique called solar radiation management, and a process which mimics the effect of a volcanic eruption. There are a variety of methods that can be used to prevent sun from reaching and heating the Earth, but we just want to focus on one. Something called stratospheric aerosol injection by jets. SAI is the supposed potential solution to climate warming, according to its proponents. In its simplest explanation, this U.S. newscast, which aired in 1980, about 40 years ago, discusses how cloud cover by jet trails was helping prevent the heat of solar radiation. So this technique has long been known to be effective. Information like this invites us to trust the process. After all, we know that climate change will displace millions of people and has been identified as the single greatest national security threat that we face. But let's look at the SAI strategy from another point of view. What exactly is being used to create this cloud cover? In 2013, we got our answer. The most renowned geoengineering scientist in the United States, David Keith, appeared on the Stephen Colbert Show to promote his book, A Case for Climate Engineering. What was revealed may be the most critical information about covert geoengineering practices than ever admitted to the public.
You could actually spray sulfuric acid in the stratosphere 20 kilometers over our head and use that to stop the planet warming up in a kind of ugly tech fix.
You can spray something into the atmosphere to
pollution into the atmosphere to stop it warming.
How do you do this?
You start with a fleet of modified business jets and say 20,000 tons of sulfuric acid into the stratosphere every year. Uh-huh. And each year you have to put a little more. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't, in the long run, mean that you can forget about cutting emissions. We will need to rein in emissions.
No, we'll get to it eventually.
Does...
In the meantime, we're shrouding the earth in sulfuric acid.
So people are terrified about talking about this because they're scared that it will prevent us cutting emissions.
Right, and also that it's sulfuric acid.
We put 50 million tons of sulfuric acid in the air now as pollution, and it kills a million people a year worldwide.
Okay, but it'll be better if we put more in.
We're talking about 1% of that.
1% more, we're just killing 10,000 more people.
You can do math.
What happens to the sulfuric acid after it's sprayed? Does it just stay up there?
No, it rains down, but it's a tiny addition to what we're already doing.
Is there any possible way this could come back to bite us in the end?
It actually turns out to be an old idea. This was known since President Johnson.
You ever look at those planes up there? They have contrails behind them? Maybe all those planes are the contrails. Maybe they're actually spraying chemicals into the atmosphere right now and Uncle Sam isn't telling us.
Seems extremely unlikely.
The fact that the United States is not telling something to its citizens, that seems extremely likely to me. Read the newspaper. I think they might have your idea already.
So, this world-renowned climatologist says, if we can just inject a little more sulfuric acid and metal nanoparticulates into the stratosphere, we can effectively reflect the sun's heat, even if it kills tens of thousands of people, so that we can buy time and eventually get around to decreasing our reliance on polluting fossil fuels. If you were given a choice, would you give a thumbs up for willingly adding these toxins to your respiration, soil, food, and water supply? To allow BP, Exxon, Chevron, and the rest to have a few more decades exercising optimal power and profit? We'll tell you more about the effects of those metal nanoparticulates on humans and on the planet. But first, you may have noticed how the geoengineering proponents emphasize that SAI is being considered for use in the future. We just heard a 40-year-old news clip saying it was working. So why are we continually told it's being researched as a potential solution when the evidence shows it's happening right now? Propaganda mastermind Joseph Goebbels of the Nazi Party said, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state." Research on weather modification goes back well before its public mention in 1980. This document, presented to the U.S. Senate in 1978, reveals that cloud seeding research began in 1947. And with devastating consequences to the environment. But would you believe that the research goes back even further? Medal of Honor recipient, Admiral Richard E. Byrd, wrote a book called Alone about his experience in the Arctic. No one at the time would have noticed that the book cover shows sky aerosol patterns. This book was published back in 1938, after the First World War, when these technologies were being studied at the poles. It's also worth noting that Byrd had a way of sharing important information with the public through cryptic messages, as we discussed in our video about Inner Earth, which was curiously censored by YouTube. You can expect it to be re-uploaded again soon. By the way, the publisher later changed the image on this cover when it was re-released. That was 80 years ago. So if we believe the common narrative about this technology only being researched for potential use in the future, this means that since the first studies in it began, we've sent spacecraft beyond Pluto, we've cloned life forms, developed artificial intelligence, created supersonic jets, the internet, cell phones, and more, but apparently have had no advancement in our understanding of the effects of cloud seeding and SAI. Is that possible? Kevin Shipp was formerly a decorated CIA officer. In his book, From the Company of Shadows, he reveals the shocking facts about covert climate engineering, including massive aerosol dumps over populations and the electromagnetic energy networks that are designed to manipulate air masses. These weather technologies have been researched and implemented for decades. Seeing how incredibly effective, how complicated, and how harmful these technologies are to life, it's no wonder so little is shared with the public. Also in his book, The Demon-Haunted World, Science as a Candle in the Dark, Carl Sagan said, "One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle's captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back." So let's look at the bamboozle, the so-called contrails. Fog lifts, clouds move and change, but at present, jet trails last for hours and hours in the hot air above you, eventually spreading out to create a thin cirrus cloud haze. Considering the stratospheric conditions of humidity and temperature, this just doesn't add up. One day they cover the sky, and the next day they disappear, even without any change in weather conditions. In the documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying?, Edward Griffin explains the difference between contrails and SAI, what some people call chemtrails. A word that'll give you a powerful sting if you use it, due to the way it's been labeled a conspiracy. If nothing else, know this. A jet contrail that was pure condensation would not start and stop like this. Also, because they have metal nanoparticulates in them, as Keith and Shipp revealed, jet trails are electromagnetically conductive. On the ground, networks of powerful microwave radio frequency from NEXRAD, which is Next Generation Radar Networks, can be transmitted to manipulate air mass. When this happens, it will make unnaturally precise geometric patterns of the clouds, directing the metallic nanoparticles sprayed from SAI, the way a magnet directs iron shavings. Up until the 1940s, airplanes didn't leave lingering jet contrails behind them. But today, military jets used for SAI appear nearly invisible from below, though their jet trails are very visible. SAI technology was added, however, to commercial aircraft in recent years, and is now more prevalent than ever in the sky. The disbursement patents can be found here. The nozzles themselves look like this. Here are images of SAI ballast barrels, which are notably different from the water barrels used for passenger simulation on test flights. Note the difference in the SAI tanks versus the water tanks, which look like unnamed beer kegs. If the trails were just condensation, it should also be known that 90% of the air that passes through an airplane turbine engine is not even combusted, which is what creates the heat that results in condensation. So, with regular jet fuel, condensation happens only in rare circumstances. Can you imagine if automobiles left this thick contrail haze? There would be no visibility on the road. Over the years, evidence of disbursement has become more and more discreet, as airline companies now have strict non-disclosure agreements. WikiLeaks made it known, however, that airlines receive billions of dollars from the government, so there's no doubt they'll do whatever is required of them. Sometimes, it's easier to see the forest through the trees when you can get the whole picture. Here are some satellite photos looking down from far above, which show the perfect geometrical patterns of unnatural weather formations. No matter how much scientists say that SAI is only being considered for the future, the truth is staring us in the face. It's happening now. It's been going on for a long time. The atmospheric scientist mentioned earlier, Ken Caldera, admitted that over 200 tests had been conducted over the human population without their knowledge or consent. Another admission about the effect of airplane contrails was published in Smithsonian Magazine, where it was presented as though the decrease in solar radiation were purely coincidental. This is likely a part of the intention to educate and gradually ease into disclosing the current climate engineering strategies, as the United Nations, Keith, and others want to do. We've come to accept these strange tic-tac-toe sky patterns as normal. In fact, even as the U.S. continues to deny existence of such programs, in March of 2019, the USA and Saudi Arabia refused to agree to efforts made by the UN to improve the world's understanding of potential efforts to lace the sky with sunlight-reflecting aerosols. It appears these world powers have their own agenda and are uninterested in yielding the control these powerful technologies provide them. Now that you understand these concepts, we invite you to pay attention to the trails in the sky, how they hold their shape, and then finally, over hours, dissipate to create thin, white cirrus clouds that help keep the climate cool. Sometimes, you can see the effect of microwave energy as they assume unnatural and perfect lines and geometrical patterns. Even if you choose not to investigate what's happening above you, you can't help but notice how odd it is to have propaganda of denial forced in your face. So how does all this relate to extreme weather? Because weather modification is almost entirely omitted from public discussion, it's easy to assume that all weather, including extreme weather, is normal. Seeing as all the planet is connected, however, weather engineering is never totally isolated. One area affects everywhere. So, it makes sense how an extreme temperature in one area may lead to its opposite in a neighboring area. According to the many sources shared above, there's a network of radio frequency transmitters that are spread across many countries and are used to manipulate precipitation and dry air mass. The common narrative says that these NEXRAD transmitters merely read the weather. But radar sourced from weather modification facilities shows different, revealing how they actually transmit microwave energy. When these methods are employed, you can see proof of the technology in the perfect circular radius on these unmodified radar screens. So, these facilities direct high-powered microwave radiation frequencies, which blast the metal nanoparticulates, aluminum, and barium and others, as Keith discussed. This makes air mass become electromagnetically charged and causes an electrical chain reaction that dramatically heats the ionosphere up to 10,000 degrees, making winds rapidly spin according to the hemisphere it's in, and then creating a circular high, or sometimes low, pressure dome. These fry the affected areas underneath with heat waves and deny an area precipitation. Just like a magnet directs iron shavings, precipitation and heat can be directed, simply shut on or off. In similar fashion, when precipitation is wanted, a process called chemical ice nucleation can be used to engineer a storm, often resulting in the unnaturally textured and oversized hail. This hail is anything but pure water vapor. Could technology really be creating these freak storms? As mentioned, the patents for all these methods are viewable. Just see for yourself. So when these strategies are implemented to create precipitation or heat, a neighboring area will pay the cost with an opposite extremity. If this sounds far-fetched, do you think it's a mere coincidence that in 2015, the United States government put a universal gag order on employees of the National Weather Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the U.S. Department of Commerce? But one of the most shocking aspects of SAI geoengineering is its disregard for the effects metals have on life. Aluminum does not occur by itself in nature, only combined with other elements or compounds. Now, however, it's being detected everywhere, in our fresh water, our oceans, even on the highest mountain peaks. With the admission of its use in SAI, it's shocking to read the dangers of aluminum. Dr. Russell Blaylock is a brain neurosurgeon who has tried to make public the effects that metal toxicity is having on humans. He points out that human brains show more and more aluminum, particularly in neurological disorders like Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis. Dr. Blaylock says these conditions are not due to the aging of the population, but that they are due to toxins like aluminum, including that in vaccines, adding, "No one's telling the truth." He also says that when these metals, aluminum, barium, and stadium, are combined, they're especially toxic. The most damaging result is cognitive dysfunction, including memory loss. The smaller the nanoparticle, the more likely it is to cross the blood barrier to enter the brain, where it stays. Blaylock is not alone. Long ago, neurobiologists determined the connection between aluminum and Alzheimer's. Understanding that SAI could be contributing to an epidemic number of cognitive, neurological, and autoimmune disorders in our population, Blaylock has even gone so far as to say this: "I pray that the pilots who are spraying this dangerous substance fully understand that they are destroying the lives and the health of their families as well." Who's paying the cost to keep our fossil fuels burning? Another show of toxicity in our environment is occurring in our dead oceans and bodies of water. While there are many potential reasons contributing to this problem, geoengineers have explained that increasing iron in the ocean increases algae, and algae is beneficial because it feeds on the carbon in the air, pulling it from the atmosphere. Now, the overabundance of algae is destroying pristine fresh and ocean waters, streams, and rivers, as if the plastic problem wasn't enough. Metal toxicity is even showing up in soil, which means it becomes part of the nutrient uptake of crops and trees, making all life vulnerable to its effects. While there are many factors contributing to the loss of our natural environment, this insidious, invisible villain accumulates over time, making environments lethal and sick, not unlike radiation poisoning. And this is only one of many radical consequences of SAI geoengineering. Is it any wonder so much effort is put into controlling information and into persuading us that those non-dissolving lines across the sky are merely the condensation of water vapor? Here's a thought for you. Since there's plenty of evidence in government, the scientific community, and even in the United Nations, that geoengineering has been and is being practiced, consider what our news would actually look like if there was transparency around the technologies being used. Instead of your existing weather predictions, the truth might actually sound something like this. Today, there was cloud seeding over Ohio, and you can expect some extreme weather as a result. You can expect a storm within 100 miles of Toledo, and if you live beyond that, you can expect 3 days with no humidity. Since it's unlikely you can expect that kind of transparency, it's safe to assume there are unsavory reasons why all the weather modification that's being done is not being shared with you. Like much information today, the topic of weather modification is carefully censored. If you're not seeing this, just search for this Discover magazine from December 13, 2017. Or try to search Geoengineering Dangers on YouTube. And as of today, you'll discover only its proponents appear. There are whistleblowers who share the truth at great risk to themselves and to their family. Among them, this young military pilot who was horrified when she discovered the harm her covert missions were causing the public. She now feels it's her civic duty to reveal what is actually happening above us in our skies. The change in public narrative has been so subtle, it's easily missed. A few years ago, the definition of the greenhouse effect included how humans contribute to increased carbon in our atmosphere. Now, this definition has changed. According to Google, polluting our planet isn't the source of the greenhouse effect. The problem is created by too much sunshine. The trapping of the sun's warmth in a planet's lower atmosphere due to the greater transparency of the atmosphere to visible radiation from the sun than to infrared radiation emitted from the planet's surface. The bottom line is that the choice to geoengineer and manipulate our perception was chosen over doing the right thing, which is evolving to clean energy systems. Politicians wave off concerns, so we keep buying those fossil fuels from their corporate donors. And of course, scientists keep saying that cloud cover solutions are being researched. Just don't look up. Like David Icke says, the most insidious lie is the one that exists in plain sight. Dane Wigington says, "How big does the climate engineering elephant in the room need to be before it can no longer be hidden in plain sight?" We used to hear that it was time to stop building things with tailpipes and smokestacks. Time to stop using the sky as a waste dump for our carbon dioxide pollution. We knew it for decades, but have been too distracted in our struggles for security and our longing for escape to actually turn it around. Apparently, that intention was thwarted to preserve the status quo and keep the powers that be. Unbeknownst to all of us, hundreds of people working in the shadows have decided, independently of public knowledge or consent, to use powerful technologies to reduce the heating of our planet and assert power over other nations. While the UN does want to create more transparency with this, powerful nations resist. No powerful few are going to bend unless we are united, informed, and unstoppable. We are not powerless to this deception. When something is untrue, we can simply turn the other cheek. But attacking and labeling something as a conspiracy can be a powerful form of propaganda that creates confusion and distrust of the truth. It's an abuse of power and an assault on human dignity. Do we want a healthy planet for our children? If so, we must practice listening and understanding, not just attacking. To really put this matter in perspective, think about when you first learned that burning fossil fuels, coal and oil, emits an excess of carbon, which builds up over time in the Earth's atmosphere like a greenhouse. No matter what age you are, you were likely taught how critical it is for humanity to change our power source to something clean and renewable before the escalating heat endangered our Earth's ecosystems. Well, here's how successful that's been. Sadly, despite decades of goodwill and effort, oil and coal industries are more powerful than they've ever been. Consider, the population is over 7.5 billion people worldwide, and almost every human being depends on them in some way. Climate warming and SAI jet trails are not the hoax. Maybe the only real hoax is government's supposed efforts over the last 100 years to convert to clean energy and detach from the powerful companies that fill their pockets. SAI happening above us is being labeled a conspiracy to cast doubt over what your senses are showing you. All the while, world powers dominate other countries, made vulnerable by extreme weather, and the polluting energy and military industries remain in solid control. Somehow, the most rational, intelligent, life-giving solution, renewable energy, got trumped by other strategies. And weather modification allows powerful companies and the military to preserve their financial and physical power and to work covertly. Geoengineering does work, temporarily, but it comes at a dangerously high cost. Ironically, it was established to combat the warming climate, but is now massively contributing to the long-term problem by escalating pollution on all levels, in the air, water, soil, and all of life. There's a reason why colonizing Mars has gained so much attention. Gaia and our children need us to wake up from complacency. It's way past time to convert to clean energy sources. If in this moment we were capable of continuing on our path without contributing carbon to the atmosphere, our planet might have a chance. Remember, never does nature say one thing and wisdom another. Thank you for watching. Please hit like if you enjoyed this video. We hope you'll subscribe, and if you'd like to be notified of future releases, just hit the bell button.